Back to season two of The Protectors. Another amazing guest today, Kevin Fleich. But before we get there, I do want to bring up the shirt I'm wearing. It's from the C4 Foundation, and it's from Chuck Heavy. Now, Charles H. Keating IV, I didn't want to mess that up at all, was killed in action. And they have a foundation and are really just a positive force out there for the community. And for $4 a month, you could donate to them. It's $4 a month. That's like a coffee and a half now. I've done it. You could also buy awesome t-shirts like this to support the cause. Please check out the C4 Foundation. And without further ado, here he is, Kevin Fleich, former Green Beret, wounded in action, and has gone on to do amazing things. I shouldn't say gone on. He's already done amazing things. But now he's on the tier. You're like a tier one operator of awesome things you're doing, brother. How you doing, man?
Hey, Jason, man. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I don't know, I guess I just, I'm always worried. I don't want to say that I peaked when I was 27. So, you know, I'm 36 now and want to try to keep one up in myself here.
Yeah. And doctor's next, man. PhD. I see it.
My wife is, so I just try to live up to my wife. I mean, I'll just put that right out there. She already has two master's degrees. So I was like, I got to keep this an even playing field. So I got to get two master's degrees. So of course she's the one upper, right? So she's working on her PhD right now, and I see what she's going through, and I think I've tapped out on the higher education piece.
No, not at all, man. I didn't get my my doctorate until I was 42. I started. I'm 47 now. Yeah, about that. 41, 42. So yeah, man, you got it. But you don't just have two masters. Let's talk about that. And we'll get into your whole backstory. A lot of people know who you are because you're out and about on social media. We'll talk about that too. But I do want to talk about these two master's degrees. They're not just two master's, MIT and Harvard. I mean, it's not like it was an easy path for you to get there. So let's talk about that. Give us a backstory.
Yeah. So I'm from a small town in upstate New York called Stillwater, you know, right outside of Saratoga. Great place to grow up. It was really fortunate to also get to go to an all boys Catholic military school in upstate New York there in Troy, New York. And, you know, from there, just really learned like the concept of loving God, loving country, and putting others above yourself. So for me, I just really wanted to serve in the military. I thought that was my way to serve others, to serve our country, to kind of pay back all the great fortune that my family had been bestowed. So I went to college like completely with the idea that this is what I wanted to do. And as I started to kind of survey the landscape, keep in mind, this is back in 2002 and 2006, so the wars are really picking up. I saw like the Green Berets, and I saw their motto, "De oppresso liber," you know, to free the oppressed. And I said to myself, like, that's exactly what I want to be doing. I want to be learning languages. I want to be learning cultures, living with the people that I'm working with, and trying to train these soldiers and these militias to be these standalone armies. So right after I graduated, I pretty much joined the army, enlisted right before, you know, for went the OCS route. But you know, from there, you know, it wasn't the most popular decision out there, right? In my graduating class of 508 people, 4 people joined the military. And I came from a pretty well-off background, right? I walked away from a family business that was doing, you know, millions of dollars a year in revenue to do this. But it was a huge lesson for me to follow your heart, to follow your gut, to do what you know is the right thing to do in life. And so, you know, after 2 years of training, made it to the first Special Forces groups, deployed and to Philippines, Afghanistan, Thailand, and then back to Afghanistan. And then unfortunately was hurt pretty badly on my second deployment, about 7 months into it.
Yeah. And that's, I watched a documentary, Wounded White War, and it's, I don't know, man. It was tough to watch, to see you go through all of that. And like you said, you didn't want to peak at a certain age and have that be like the pinnacle of your life, being a Green Beret, and then having your career cut short due to enemy gunfire. I don't know, man. I don't know. And then to go on and get two master's degree from the top schools in the country, top countries, top schools in the world. Your drive is amazing, man. But what was that like? I don't even know. I mean, I've seen the film, but to speak to you directly, what is that like to just boom, completely shift your focus after you've gone through something so devastating?
I think for me, you know, life has really always been about setting these huge long-term goals for myself, right? That people tell me are unattainable. So like when I told people I wanted to be a Green Beret, you know, a lot of people are like, well, you're crazy. Nobody makes it through. And when I hear things like that, I'm just like, that's when I get interested. That's when I get excited about it, right? When there's a high barrier to entry to something. And, you know, I realized pretty quickly after I got hurt that I needed to set some pretty large goals for myself to be able to keep myself motivated during these very dark and difficult times. And so the first big thing that I said to myself in the intensive care unit was, the big thing for me, right, is I knew when I got hurt like this that I needed to set large goals for myself. It was going to be incredibly important for me to have this big light at the end of the tunnel, for myself to get up every day, to stay motivated. And it wasn't just going to be enough to like go to physical therapy. Right? So in the hospital, I said to myself, like, I want to not just run again, but I want to run a marathon. Right. So that was the big physical goal that I'd set for myself. And then I set a lot smaller goals along the way that I'd be able to kind of measure progress, that I would then be able to like celebrate those successes so I didn't become too depressed, because pretty long-term goal for a guy who has a fractured hip, 20% mm-hmm. of his shoulder moved, paralyzed left leg, and people are telling me to be lucky to walk again. So that was like the big physical goal that I set for myself. But then, you know, it took me a little while to think about this, but you know, I thought to myself, like, I wanted to transition out. I knew I was going to get hurt. I thought going to like a top tier business school would be a great thing for me to do, right? Like a new goal for me to set for myself, to kind of show people that I was doing great with my recovery. And I was so fired up about it that this was going to be what I wanted to do. And probably 3 or 4 months after, you know, getting out of the hospital the first time, having this goal, having my wife like push me towards it. Within a matter of like 2 days, I found out that I had to go to the Mayo Clinic for an extensive experimental surgery because the nerve in my left leg was not going to come back. The muscle had atrophied to the point that it was the size of my left arm. And my teammate, Ben Wise, was killed 2 weeks before the team was supposed to come home. So that really just was like a dead stop, man. Like just so much for me to handle at once, and went through with the surgery, and you know, the reality of the situation really just came home for me, right? The survivor's guilt of my teammate, the other guys in the company that got killed, the fact that I was able to survive, my injuries, uncertainty for the future, post-traumatic stress just really came barreling down on me. And, you know, I really resorted to self-destructive behaviors of drinking, you know, the pills I was taking. Until 6 months after that surgery, my wife sat me down and was like, is this it, man? Like, is this what you're going to do with the rest of your life? And reminded me, she's like, you have goals to achieve, right? Yeah, do you think this is any way for you to honor Ben Wise or any of these other guys? And, you know, that was like sticking the knife in, man. I was mad, but she was right. And so that's what pushed me back on track. Like, all right, I have this goal. Like, these are the things I need to do. I need to get off my pain meds. I need to start studying for grad school exams. And having that huge goal to get up every day for, like, that is what I think pushed me forward, got my life going again, and put me in the position I am today.
Man, I'm really impressed, because, you know, watching your show, the movie, and knowing how hard it was, you know, knowing that, you know, having something right ahead of you, and then it's all of a sudden it's like, hey, you know what, you got to go to the Mayo Clinic. And a Mayo Clinic sound like it's right up the road where you're going like an hour or two. It's, you know, it's like halfway across the country, man.
Yeah. It was, for me, it wasn't even just about like, hey, you got to go to the Mayo Clinic. It's like, you know, I went to the University of Washington Neurology Clinic and they could barely read my MRI. There's so much damage.
Yeah.
And at the time, I mean, there was nobody in the country to take my case besides the Mayo Clinic. And they're like, hey, look, like, we don't know if this is going to work or not. Right. Like, this is experimental. I mean, what we can guarantee you, though, is it's going to be painful. You're going to start your physical therapy back from day one. You have to go back on your pain meds, which, you know, if I didn't know at the time how much of a struggle that was going to be.
Yeah, I was going to say that, you know, the addiction that a lot of wounded warriors go through is, I mean, I read about like some of these pills are prescribing, like, you know, 20, 30 different pills a day. How do you not get addicted? I mean, it becomes like your lifeline to having some form of quote unquote happiness and to be pain free for just a little while.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was like this pain free, like I was in a lot of physical pain, but it helped numb out the mental pain. And it like almost gave me this high that I would get in combat, right? That like,
yeah.
I felt like I was like searching for, knowing it was never going to come back. Like, it just seems so similar to me of like just how good I would feel like being out on a mission and being with a team, you know?
Yeah. But, and now like, I think there's a certain high, and I think, you know, this is just me speaking out, what the hell do I know? But when it comes to education and stuff and having a goal ahead of you, like your goal, like, hey, you know what? I want to be a Green Beret. You did it. You didn't want to get injured, obviously. But then when you did, you adapt and you move on. You're like, hey, you know what? I'm going to get a master's, but not only that, I'm going to get a dual one. Cause why not? You know, why not? If you have the mentality to do it and the drive, do it. Same thing you said, education maybe stop for a little while. I'm going to check back in you and I'm going to keep in contact with you. And I guarantee you there's a PhD in your future, man.
Because I mean, I'd be lying if I hadn't said like, I haven't looked into it, you know, so I'll give you that much, you know.
And there's definitely a book. Absolutely a book.
Yeah, working on the book right now. You know, I started writing in 2013 just as like this very cathartic way to start dealing with things. And I realized if I could be transparent about what I was going through, then I could help a lot of other people out. So I've been working on that. I worked on it a lot at grad school. I wrote a book that wasn't what I wanted to write. And currently working with a woman right now to get the thoughts together, to put together a proposal and then send that out and see if we can't get it published.
Yeah. Good luck with the query process, but I think you're in good hands. I guarantee it. If you have someone helping you, they probably know what they're doing. Querying can be disheartening, but you're one of those guys. You're just going to be like, hey, you know what? I got it. I got this.
Hey, I went through the query process when I thought the book was completed back in 2016. Turns out the book was maybe like, you know, the story was, I don't know, 25% done. It took me a long time to realize that like the combat, the training, that's all very interesting. But like what is super interesting to people and very relatable to people is what happened after I got shot.
Yep.
And to me at that time, it was just all about the combat because it was just me dealing with it mentally. But I did. I went through the query process. I got rejected by 49 out of 50 people.
It happens, brother. I'm still going. I'm trying to write a book on trafficking and I'm human trafficking. I mean, I'm trying to raise awareness about that. And it's a tough process. But, you know, you have, like you said, post-war. You know, I wrote down keywords for this interview. One is stigma. One is losing your identity is one of them. Closure and guilt. You know, these are the things that the millions of us that have either, you know, deployed, not deployed, who have served. And it doesn't just affect the military community. It affects everybody else that is seeing and experiencing traumatic events. Post-traumatic stress affects not just the military, affects our emergency responders, our police, our all the other law enforcement, anybody, and sexual trauma, anything. They all go through these same types of experiences. You bringing your story and showing that you can overcome them and adapt is what people want to hear.
Yeah, I think, you know, that the big lesson I took away was like, be vulnerable, right? And show people, be very transparent, like take your mask of invincibility off. Kind of, we have this special operations superhero myth that's out there. Guess what? All human beings, not a video game, not Call of Duty, no restart button. And, you know, I think the another big thing that I had to learn through a series of humility and self-reflection was like, I didn't own misery and suffering. Because for a long time that I thought that I did. Where I see other people and the problems that they had. I'm like, how could you possibly be having a problem? Like, you know what I've been through? I've learned to take everything I've been through as a blessing. because it's given me this incredible backstop of like, well, that, you know, things aren't as bad because just think about this. But it's also taught me these incredible lessons, and it's forced me to walk a mile in so many other people's shoes.
Yep.
The empathy that I have for other people and what they have gone through now is significantly higher.
Write that word down, empathy. That's chapter 7, right? I mean, because that's what you need. Not everybody has gone through these situations. You're going to find that writing this book, when you're complete, it's published, it's out there, people are reading about you. You'll still have to explain yourself a million times. I mean, I've done it. But it's going to be very, it's going to be healing, definitely healing. And it's something for your kids, man. That's why I wrote my book. I wanted something for my kids to know who their dad was before he was this, you know, 47-year-old guy, you know, podcasting.
Sorry, I promise my kids all the time. I'm like, look, I used to be cool. Trust me.
And they're always going to be like, yeah, right.
Luckily, they, you know, they see the scars and stuff, and like, they're 6 and 4. So
Like,
it can't be hidden from them. It's kind of like, they probably know more than most 6 and 4 year olds.
I know.
Would know at this point.
And that brings me up to another thing that you're really involved with is a Green Beret Foundation. Whew, let's throw that up there. Where's my sticker?
Yeah, love it.
I'm a big fan.
Your shirt too.
Oh yeah, I got a shirt around here somewhere. But I also got my awesome. I won this. I bought it at an auction, and I also got a GoRuck from those guys. They're an incredible organization. I was fortunate enough when I got deployed to get detached from this, the initial unit I was, and I was assigned to Combined Joint Special Operations Task Force, Arabian Peninsula, under 10th Group, Colonel Tovo, and then under 5th Group. But Tovo was the one that did my OER. And man, it was such an eye-opening experience to be in that community, even for just a little while. And I'm a huge supporter of them. And I'm a huge supporter of what you're doing for them. Can you tell us a little bit about your involvement with that?
Sure. Yeah. I'd say this, you know, General Tovo, amazing leader. I am serving on the board with him, and it's unreal for me because about 15 years ago when I was in college, I read a book called Masters of Chaos, which is a, you know, all about special forces and takes you from like Panama up until the invasion of Iraq. And, you know, General Tovo was a major part of that book as like Major Tovo in the Balkans and then Lieutenant Colonel Tovo in Iraq. And I just remember like reading that. I'm like, man, like, these are like, I want to serve with this guy. I want to like, this is all like, this is what I want to do with my life. And so then now to be on the board with him is,
He was Colonel Tovo when I was in Iraq. And I remember him getting up in the morning. I don't even know. I don't think he slept. I don't think he did. And he'd be like, hey, I think the colonel just went out for a 12-mile run like daily. I'm like, oh my gosh, machine, absolute machine.
Oh yeah. Now I've learned quite a bit from working with him, and it's just an honor to be a part of the Green Beret Foundation. And, you know, my wife and I are very intimately familiar of the needs that service members have, right? Specifically in our case, Green Berets have, you know, when you come back home from a deployment and you are banged up physically, mentally, and emotionally. Now, the Army, the DOD, they do a great job of getting you what they need, but there's a lot of things that aren't covered by TRICARE, that aren't covered by the Army, or you know, some red tape that can take an extremely long time. So if we are able to cut through that and help that out, you know, that's remarkable. And so for me, it's just such a passion project because it was game changing to have the support of the Green Beret Foundation. Right, they were there from day one for my wife and I. Anything we needed, you know, pretty much without question, they were there. And it's tough, man. It's tough to ask for help if you're an SF guy or just any military person, right? Like, wow, it's hard to ask for help. So to have somebody there that you know has your back is pretty remarkable. You know, then I graduate, I go to grad school, we're living pension check to pension check in Boston with a family. And, you know, that's not easy to do. The foundation helped out a lot because I still had a lot of continuing medical stuff that had to happen. And so when I got myself into a place physically, mentally, emotionally, right, where I could give back, I was like, you know, I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure that when guys come back in the condition that I'm in, you know, they know that we have their back. So, you know, started speaking on behalf of the foundation and what the foundation has done for me. But I think a big thing that has to be, you know, that we have to do, right, compared to other foundations is we have to educate people like, hey, this is like what Green Berets are. This is what they do.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the typical thing you hear is like, "What was that? Like a Navy SEAL?" And you're like,
"Yeah,
okay."
That's why you need more books, brother. You need more Green Beret books out there.
I'm looking at my bookshelf right now.
I'm like, how many SEALs wrote these books? Oh my gosh. I keep a bookshelf right behind me here of everyone I've had on the show. And I'm like, one, two, three, seven, eight SEALs. I'm like, we need some more Army guys on there, man.
I'm going to work on getting my book on that shelf for you, Jason. So
definitely, brother.
It was really an honor to be able to do that, to speak a lot on their behalf, to talk to as an ambassador, and then was fortunate enough to join the board in 2018. So it's been an incredible experience. I'm the chairman of programs and services. My wife is on the committee with me. She's the brains behind the operation, of course. I had to tag her into this.
That's the way it always is, man. My wife was always like one rank ahead of me. It was always like, you know, I was at E3, she was an E4, I was an E4, she was an E5. And then when I was a lieutenant, she became a captain. It's like, come on, you know. I do have the doctorate. I am a doctor. There we go. Yeah. Maybe that's why I did it.
Yeah.
Huh. Maybe that is it.
I gotta
definitely bring up is where we could find you, and that's your social media and stuff. I really want to get the story out there. This, I didn't know any until, so just for the audience out there, S&P Global hooked us up. Great organization, really trying to bring light to the veteran community and just the experiences we all have. And Kevin has incredible experience. They filmed this. We did a viewing of your documentary, and I really want to bring up where we could find you, where we could find that, and just everything, brother.
Yeah. So you can check out my website, woundedbywar.com. You can find the documentary there, or if you just do a quick Google search like Wounded by War, Vimeo, it's on there. For $10, you can stream it, and all of that money goes to the Green Beret Foundation. So I financed the whole project myself, you know, paid a couple thousand dollars for like the videographers, the editors. All the proceeds go to the Green Beret Foundation with that documentary. You can also check me out on Instagram, right? I'm at Wounded by War. I have a Facebook page also, Wounded by War, and you can follow me on LinkedIn. It's just Kevin Fleick. And, you know, I try to be as transparent as possible on everything that I do, you know, in hopes to inspire other people to seek help, to speak out, and, you know, to just become the best version of yourself. You know, on LinkedIn today, I did a post about my wife staged an intervention for me when I was addicted to meds, right? That's you know, pretty tough thing to put out on a very professional professional forum, but inexperience is worth nothing unless you share it. And I went through all this to share this with people. So that's my purpose in life. And also have the opportunity to speak throughout the country. Do a lot of keynote speaking, doing virtual events now. So if you or your organization wants to hear more about some resiliency, right? How I was able to stay resilient during these times, how you can make your company, your organization more resilient, overcome obstacles, and learn from hard times, then you should contact me. I'd love to come and talk with you.
One thing about your speaking engagements, and this is for the corporations out there, is Green Berets do a lot of what they call foreign internal defense, i.e. working with, you know, civilians or military counterparts in other countries. Imagine you have him come to your corporation and talk about building teams. I mean, that's what you do. You're nation builders.
Yeah, exactly. You know, one of the things I had to learn in grad school when I was interviewing was like how I can actually relate what a Green Beret did to somebody so that they understood it in kind of a business sense. And
yeah,
you know, really, Green Berets are just kind of like internal consultants for the United States military.
Yeah.
Right. We go to foreign countries, we train their militaries and their militias, we work on what's wrong, we try to fix it, we try to make it better, you know, and try to get them in a place where they can be more freestanding. And exactly. Same way a consultant would go and work with a country. And in the case of an Iraq, Afghanistan, you actually get to go to combat with the guys that you're training.
It's amazing responsibility and amazing. You just can't find those types of job skills anywhere. I think that's the only soft units out there that do this kind of stuff. So incredible, brother. Well, Kevin, I really appreciate you coming on. And anything I could do to support you or the Green Beret Foundation, feel free anytime.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you so much, Jason, for having me on here. It's been an absolute honor.
Thanks. Now, everybody out there, I'm starting something new. After you listen to this, after you watch it, please reach out to your friends, family. A lot of people are going through struggles in a protector community right now. You have a law enforcement friend, a police friend. Gosh knows what's going on right now. Emergency responders dealing with COVID, dealing with everything. Wow. Our veterans, our military community, so much of them have been pent up for 90 days, 80 days, whatever, mentally exhausted. Maybe they just got back from deployment. Reach out, text. We all have a little device right here. Text them, call them, like them on social media, do something. But please reach out to everybody out there.